Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. As you're turning there, I want to thank every one of you who have sacrificed and who have worked so hard to make these last few days such a wonderful time. For all of the ladies who spent hours in the kitchen, can I just say thank you? The food was fantastic. I don't know when I have felt so full. A friend of mine once said this, and I've never forgotten it. He said, there's only really two times when it's difficult to preach. There's all kinds of times when it's just so easy to preach. But there's two times when it's really difficult to preach. Once is right before you eat, and you know you're going to eat. And the other one is right after you've eaten. And I want to thank you for trying to stay awake ahead of time. I know that some of you right now are beginning to feel the full effect of that amazing lunch. And these nice, comfortable benches are lulling you to Never Never Land. And I just want to thank you for staying awake. And if you see somebody next to you falling asleep, poke them in the ribs. And so I hope you'll listen. Today I want to preach a message that I originally was not planning to preach. As of this morning, I had a different message, so we're going to change the title again. I want to preach out of Joshua chapter number 24. I really believe that as the day has progressed and God's been working in my heart, actually for several weeks, about this particular passage, and I had wondered if God was going to allow me to preach from this passage, but He has just shown me very clearly that that's what I'm supposed to preach at this hour. So we're going to go to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read two verses, verse 14 and 15, and then we're going to make our prayer. The Bible says in Joshua 24, 14, tell you what, could I ask you all to stand with me, please? I know some of you have been sitting for a few minutes, and let's just read these two verses together. And as you read these verses, could I ask you to do something else? I want you to read them as if these words are your words, as if this is what you're saying. You just think about these words for a few moments. This is Joshua, the leader of Israel, speaking here. Let's read these two verses together. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, would you please work in our hearts as we consider these powerful verses? And Lord, we know that your word speaks to hearts and changes lives and penetrates deep into our hearts. And Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would use me to communicate the message that you've put upon my heart. And Lord, I pray today that as we study these verses, that you would help us to be more like Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to listen and be obedient to your will for our lives. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Here in Joshua chapter number 24, Joshua is approaching the end of his life. Joshua has led the children of Israel for a long time. And Joshua has taught the children of Israel by example, but also through helping them to understand the truths of God's Word. Please bear in mind that at this particular time, Moses has been dead for around 40 years, and the children of Israel have had their struggles. They've had their ups and their downs, and they've seen God perform amazing things in their midst, but at the same time, they have committed grave, grave sins. We read in the book of Joshua of a man who got sidetracked by finances for a while as he was in Jericho, and he saw these things which he thought could perhaps bring financial stability to his home. Motivated by what some people would say was common sense, he reached out and grabbed some gold and silver and some precious clothing. And he said, I'm going to save these for a difficult day when we don't have enough food in the cupboards and when things aren't going as well as we might like. And I'm going to prepare for the future and make sure that I do my part in helping God to take care of my family. I believe that's what Achan had in mind. I don't believe that Achan that morning woke up and said, I'd like to do something that God's going to hate. I hope God gets his feelings hurt at what I'm going to do today. I don't believe that's what happened. But he made a choice. He made a choice. His choice affected him, yes, but it also affected his family. So we see Achan's choice in the book of Joshua. And then we see how that Achan's choice affected the whole group of people that had been in Jericho, because at Bethel and at Ai, you'll recall from the story told us in the book of Joshua that thousands of men were killed. And it was because God's presence had gone away from Israel for some time, and they didn't discern that God's presence had gone away. And woe unto us when we as men and the leaders of our home are not able to discern when God's presence has departed from us and when He is no longer speaking to us and when we're no longer listening to His voice. We could go through the whole book of Joshua. See all kinds of men who made decisions after decisions after decisions. And so now Joshua's come to the end of his life, and these are some of the last words that he will speak to the children of Israel. And he says to them, he commands them in verse number 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him. The latter part of that verse, the very end, says, and serve ye the Lord. In order to do that, it was going to be necessary for them to put away the gods which their fathers had served on the other side of the flood. That is, before all of the things which God had done. And I don't believe the word flood there is a reference to the time prior to Noah, but rather a time prior to God working in their life and perhaps showing Himself as real, perhaps going back to the time in Egypt or some other prior time in which they had not been faithful to God. And then he says this in verse number 15, and this is going to be our text today. He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Did you realize that it's possible that someone in this group would say, I'm not sure that serving God is the best thing I can do? You'd say, oh, well, no, I'm why would we be here if I would ever consider that? Oh, it's very easy. You see, we have enough understanding of the Scriptures that we don't want to get so far away from God that we think He's going to kill us. So we're going to stay in the camp, but we're not in it with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with all our might. We're there. We're still reading our Bible because we know other people are watching us, and we don't want to give the wrong impression. We don't want to act like we're unsaved. We don't want to act like we're an atheist, but in our heart of hearts, we're not exactly sure that we believe that serving God is the best decision for us personally. And Joshua says to this group of people, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if this is something which is bad, if serving God is not good, then therefore serving God is bad. And if you consider serving God to be bad, then choose who you're going to serve. You know, sometimes people think that they're not going to completely serve God, but they're not going to completely serve self. They're not going to completely serve money. They're not going to completely serve fame. They're not going to completely serve fortune. They're not going to completely serve something else. They're just going to kind of serve God on Sunday and serve their job on Monday through Friday, and then serve personal interest and leisure time on Saturday, and then Sunday again, boy, they're serving God. And it doesn't work that way. That's what the devil wants us to believe. The devil would have us to believe that as long as we're serving God a little bit, God's okay with that. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that you and I can be faithful to God from time to time and that the rest of the time doesn't matter. It doesn't work that way. You see, the word serve is a very interesting word. The word serve in Hebrew here is the word avad or avod, and it means hard work. Anybody that tells you that serving God is easy probably either hasn't ever done it or doesn't understand it, because serving God is hard. Now, is it better than anything else you can do? Well, I'm convinced it is. But I assure you that serving God is hard work. By the way, prayer is hard work. You ever tried to pray? Okay, how many of you men would say, I believe I could sit in a hunting stand for 5 hours waiting for an elk to come by? If you're honest and you think you could do that, would you raise your hand? How many of you think, like myself, I believe I could go out fishing for 5 hours waiting for the right fish to come along? I could do that. I really could. How many of you would say, I believe I could go shopping for 5 hours to find the right pair of shoes? Would you please raise your hand? Not a man raise your hand. God bless you for not raising your hand. There's a few of the ladies that raise their hands. And yet, could any of us say, I think I could spend 5 hours in prayer, and boy, I just love that. I got news for you. Prayer is hard work. Extremely hard work. Here in a little while, we're going to be praying. I'm excited about this time. True prayer will wear you out. It will make you exhausted. I remember the first time that we decided we were going to have an all-night prayer meeting at our church in Mexico. I was a teenager. I was all pumped about it. I thought, yes, this is great. We started about midnight. By 2 o'clock in the morning, I could have, if you'd have blown me, I'd have fallen over. I was so exhausted. I went to my dad. I said, Dad, can we take a little break? He said, yeah, I think we better. He said, go get some coffee. And I ran over to the house and I got a great big pot of coffee, and there were several men in there, and we all drank a cup of coffee and kind of woke us up a little bit, and we were able to pray for a little while longer. About 4:30 in the morning, he said, well, guys, I think we've prayed all night. and that was it. We all went home. Praying's hard work. Reading your Bible, hard work, very hard work. You go out door knocking, try to sell paint, you can do it all day long. Try to give out the gospel, man, after 2 hours, you're so tired, you don't even know how to think. Your mind gets all messed up. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What kind of hard work are you willing to do for God? You see, the Bible here says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You are making a choice whether you think you are or not. Every day, you will be making this choice for the rest of your life. And that choice is a very important choice. And I'd like to show you just three small areas in this choice that you should truly consider why you need to make the right choice. Why is this choice so important? Well, you see, first of all, the children of Israel at this particular point in their life were, as far as we know, the only Christians. We don't read, Pastor Bond, about other groups of people in other parts of the world that believed in God, that believed in the Word of God, that were following the Lord. There was nobody else other than Israel. And so, if these people didn't stay faithful to God, then the truth was going to die with them. Do you realize that you are only one generation from truth dying out? I want you to look at your kids for just a minute. And I want you to ask yourself a question. What would you do to keep that young child out of hell? Bear in mind that hell's forever. You can't pull them out once they get there. I remember when my children were born, the day they were born, every one of them, I took my child, my son, my daughters in my arms, and I said, Lord God, would you help me to live in such a way that these kids can come to know you as their personal Savior? There's nothing better than that. I've had the privilege of seeing each one of my children come to faith in Christ. I got to tell you that that's one of the greatest concerns any father or mother should ever have. To be able to see their child come to faith and know it. My son Ryan battled with salvation for many years. It wasn't until he was 16 that he finally understood, and he said, "Dad, I'm now saved." I went to him several weeks after he had made a profession of faith and after he had gotten it taken care of. And I said, "Ryan, can you see any difference between before and now?" And he said, "Well, yeah, actually I can." He said, "Before I was always afraid what might happen to me if I were to die without Christ." He said, and since I got saved, he said, "I can fall asleep and I'm not worried about it anymore." You know, the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But as a father and as a mother, if you have a child and you're not sure that they're saved, my goodness, I hope you're spending time praying for that child. There's a few in this room that are grandparents. Mike's now a grandfather. Fancy that. What about your grandkids? What would you do to see your grandkids not go to hell? Every minute, as we sit here in this room, there are 250 babies that are born somewhere in the world. Every 60 seconds, 250 babies are born somewhere. Statistically, 150 of those babies will live their entire life upon this earth, having never once heard the truth about Jesus Christ, never even so much as heard the story of the gospel of salvation, will not know who Jesus Christ is, will not know what the Bible is. They will never have heard. Little babies just like the ones that are seated next to you, the one that you're holding in your arms. I'm just wondering if the choices we make are going to affect others. You know, when we choose to serve other gods, such as money, we choose to serve other gods, such as our personal desires, and we have not committed to serve God, our choices have consequences. That's why at the end of this verse number 15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When you choose to serve God, your choice affects your family. But then your family affects other families, and then those families affect other families. In Genesis chapter number 12, God said to Abraham, "And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Your choice can have a huge impact on other people. The Bible says here in Joshua 24:15, it says, "Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." What kind of a land do we live in? Well, right here in the Northwest, in the Pacific Northwest, according to what we've been told, most people do not have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Most people are not committed Christians. Most people do not have a consecration to the things of the Lord. Most people really could care less about the gospel. Now, I've had the privilege of going out in this area and talking to people about the Bible, and I'll have to tell you that some people are very open. And praise the Lord for that. I remember once in Portland, I was in a restaurant, and while I was there, it was very late, and I was the last person eating there, and there was a young lady and a young man, and they were about to close up the shop, and I asked the young man, I said, "Sir, if you were to die today, are you sure you'd spend eternity with Christ in heaven?" He said, "Yes, I sure am." He said, "I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior." He said, "And I'll tell you, it's the greatest thing I've ever done in all my life." He said, "My life has changed." He said, "I have a new joy in my heart that is just, it's hard to explain." And the young lady was listening to us, and I said, "Young ma'am, what about you?" And she said, "No, I don't have that." She said, "He's been telling me that I need this, but I'm not sure exactly how that works." And I said, "Well, would you let me explain it to you?" And all three of us sat down. They stopped working. I stopped eating. And we talked for about half an hour right across the street from a hotel where I was staying. This young lady prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was so excited. But then I've had other opportunities to talk to people. where they slammed the door in my face. And I thought, well, okay, we are in the Northwest. You see, the choice that we make to serve God is a choice that, yes, it is hard work. And it's a choice that affects others. But can I just remind you of one thing? It's also a choice that has incredibly wonderful rewards for all of eternity. There's a few men in this room that have given their life to serve God. I thank the Lord for Pastor Bond. I thank the Lord for Pastor Seeley. And I'm not saying that you're on your way out or anything like that, but you're definitely on up in years more than some of the rest of us in this room. You know, I think when you gentlemen reach heaven's gates, you're not going to look back and say, well, I wish I hadn't spent so much time preaching. I doubt you're going to say, well, I wish I hadn't spent so much time trying to reach others with the gospel. What I think you're going to say is you're going to say, praise God for the privilege of having served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And so some of us in this room know, all of us, we're making a decision. This is a missions conference, and you might say, well, Brother Bill, how does this tie in with missions? Well, here's the way this ties in with missions. All right? The only reason anybody ever goes to the mission field is because they're close to God. The only reason that you're going to go out and try to serve God somewhere else is because you're faithful serving God right here. In Acts chapter number 13, and we won't take the time to read the whole passage there, but there were in the church at Antioch five main leaders. God took two of them, two of the five, 40% of the leaders of that church. And he said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work unto which I have called them. Because they were faithful serving right there in the local church, God sent them out. So the church came together and they identified with God's calling upon Paul and Barnabas and they sent them out. And unless you and I have chosen to serve God, God's not going to send us. I think sometimes we're worried about, well, is God going to call me to serve Him? Is God going to call me to be a missionary somewhere? I think perhaps the greater question that we need to ask ourselves is this: am I serving God right now? Amen. Every time you turn on your radio, you're making a decision whether to serve God or not. Every time you turn on a television or decide to watch something on TV, you're making a decision as to serving God or not. Every time you choose to spend time doing an activity, whatever that activity is, it's a choice to serve or not serve God. And I just want to ask you, church, men, families who are here today, have you made a commitment and are you keeping that commitment to serve God? Because if not, you're going to be just like Achan. Oh, you might be part of the camp. You might still be there among the Israelites. You might act like everything's going on, but in your heart, you're serving a different God. The God of wealth. The God of success. And it doesn't work. You can't fool God. And I beg of you, choose you this day whom you will serve. And may your heart's cry be this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, this message has been extremely simple. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to truly understand the simple truth of your word. Lord, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And Lord, I know that for myself, my heart's desire is that my family would serve you. But Lord, I also must recognize that there are many times when I have not served you as I should. When I've allowed my fears to crowd my faith. When, Lord, I've been concerned about how I'm going to provide instead of recognizing that you are the great provider. Lord, when I sometimes look to myself and think that I have to be the one to do everything instead of recognizing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us today. How many men here today? You say, Brother Bill, I'm the leader of my family. But the fact is I'm not exactly serving God the way I should. I realized that I could be serving God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. And there's just a few things I'm still struggling with. And I need God to help me to begin serving Him completely as I should. I want to be the leader of my home. I want to serve Him with all my heart. And you say, Brother Bill, just pray for me that God would help me. If that's true, and maybe you've been struggling with some area in your life, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. God bless 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 you. Thank you. You know, men, it really does start with us. Maybe there's a lady here today and you'd say, you know, Brother Bill, I've been having some struggles of my own. I'm struggling because my husband and I, we're not where we should be spiritually. You'd say, you know, I want to be that submissive wife and I want to follow the Lord's leading in my husband's life, but the fact is sometimes I just have so many questions and I listen to the devil and he brings doubts and fears. And you'd say, would you pray for me as the wife, that I would be the wife that I should be and be obedient to the Lord as I humble myself and am submissive to my husband? And you'd say, Brother Bill, please pray for me. I too want to serve God as I should. If that's true, would you raise your hand? God bless you. 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 Maybe there's some young people here today and you'd say, Brother Bill, I realize that as a young person, I'm not serving God as I should. And you'd say, please pray for me. I'm struggling in being obedient to the Lord. You'd say, I do want to serve Him as I should. If that's true, would you raise your hand? Very well. I'm going to ask you all to stand, please.